Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Three oh five, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. Plenty of sunshine right around that 80-degree mark. This Tavares Floyd must have really torqued somebody, don't you think? Tavares Floyd is running for Richmond City Council. Oh, now I just think it's hysterical. I'm going to make myself some more popcorn for any number of reasons. Number one, I don't really care who's on the Richmond City Council, except for Reba Trammell. Reba's actually done a great job. But the rest of the assorted yahoos down there, I mean, have at it. You've already destroyed the city to such a great extent. I mean, really. How many more people are left for you to actually chase out of the boundaries of the city of Richmond? I mean, you're doing a hell of a job. Make no mistake about it. Great work. But so this Tavares Floyd, first, he's getting knocked because he's not George Floyd's cousin. I'm thinking I would put right at the top of my resume, not George Floyd's cousin. You know how I love the Morrisseys, right? Emily Morrissey. Nobody better than Emily Morrissey. I'm just going to state that for the record. Perfect. Most delightful human being you're ever going to meet. But Emily Morrissey, her brother PJ Morrissey, her folks are really good people. Dan and Krista Morrissey, 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 Morrissey. If I were them, I would get T-shirts that read, not related to Joe Morrissey. I would just start with people that I don't want to be confused with. So if I'm this Tavares Floyd, is he telling people he's George Floyd's cousin? Or is he saying, hey, whoa, not related? But now the left-wing media, I know I'm repeating myself, but the legacy left-wing media, like the NPR types, never play that while you're driving, by the way. It's just a safety tip from your friendly old Uncle Jeff, because what happens is you fall asleep and then you cause an accident and then, you know, good people get injured, so don't do it. But they are all in a twist because this Tavares Floyd says he's a lawyer and they say he's not a lawyer. And I go back to my first position, which is, who gives a crap? I mean, honest to God, who cares? It's 2024, public taxpayer radio. It's 2024. He's allowed to identify as a lawyer. I don't care if he has a law license or not. It is 2024. How dare you judge him on his self-proclaimed identification? If he identifies as a lawyer, by God, he's a lawyer. And there's not a doggone thing you or I or anyone else should be able to say about that. Period. End of story. If he identifies as George Floyd's cousin, then you know what? He is George Floyd's cousin. That's all. You think he's related to Uncle Floyd? That old North Jersey TV show? Remember Uncle Floyd? Did it ever make it down here? I don't know. I'm going to have to see if I can pull some old video of it. Floyd Vivano, I think, was the guy's name. And he was anything that you can imagine, but late night, low budget, minimal production standard television. And it was great. It was great back in the day. I think it was Channel 9 out of, technically, I think it's out of Newark, WOR. But anyway, he can identify as a lawyer, can he? I say that he can. They're just investing a whole slew of our taxpayer dollars to go and investigate this further. We can't find any record of him ever being in any law directory anywhere. Who cares? You know, if he were running for a position as, I don't know, a Commonwealth's attorney, where being an actual attorney was a requirement, maybe, right? But he's running to be a city councilman in the city of Richmond. Oh, by the way, he actually has a law degree. Well, doesn't that make him a lawyer then? Because that's his argument. His argument is, hey, I went to law school. I have a law degree. Therefore, I am a lawyer. Okay. Their argument is, obviously, this guy pissed off somebody that they love, and they're just going after him like a fly following a dog, you know? They're just all over it. And I don't get it. I don't get it. But what can I tell you? It'll be interesting. He's not licensed to practice law in the Commonwealth. Okay. You know, there are all sorts of people who go and get law degrees and never work as lawyers. Lobbyists? Seriously, go to K Street up in D.C. Those beautiful buildings are filled with people who have law degrees who never, ever, ever worked on a single solitary legal matter in their entire professional career. Ever. And they never will. They don't want to. Members of Congress. A whole slew of them have law degrees. They're not lawyers. Not working lawyers, but they're lawyers. Why? Well, because in some places it's almost like the cover charge, like the cost of admission. You must be this tall to ride this ride. You must have this degree to play in this part of our society. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I didn't even know the guy was running for city council in Richmond because, again, I don't live in the city of Richmond. I go into the city of Richmond when necessary. I weep silently just a little bit as I drive places thinking, huh, you know, that used to be there. Or, wow, that used to be there. Or, you know, nobody used to be over there. But they've succeeded in chasing so many people out of the city that I guess this is what we're left with here. I would share this story, but it's like so bad it won't even stick to the Facebook page. So you're going to have to find it on your own. Honestly, it's weird. Kevin Sorbo is going to be with us in about 20 minutes or so. Kevin is coming to town for the Virginia Council. That is tomorrow evening. At last I checked with John Reed, there are still some tickets available. So if you've been on the fence, and this is something that you and I both know about Richmond and Central Virginia, we're last minute ticket purchasers, right? We're all walk up to the window, get to the door when the show opens sort of people. So if you've been just kind of sitting back and thinking, huh, I wonder if I should go see Kevin Sorbo. Well, tomorrow's the day and they're just about all sold out. So I would say yes. Yes, you should. You go to thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org, and get your tickets there. So Kevin's going to be with us at 3:35. It's interesting. He was on a podcast earlier this morning with my buddy Brian Talley out of Dallas, Texas. Brian, you may or may not recall the Talley bill. Our former member of Congress, Dave Bratt, took point on that. Brian Talley was victimized. That's the only way I can describe it. Victimized by a contract doctor at the Veterans Administration and left him so screwed up. And he's going to be in pain for the rest of his life. It's one of those weird things. When you deal with pain for your entire life, you find other people who are dealing with pain. Right? Like I just had to refill yet another prescription. You look at my bathroom, man. It looks like the warehouse at CVS, for God's sakes, with pills and all this other stuff. Because it is what it is, right? You are sort of confined to or consigned to dealing with this issue, that issue. All right, so these are our issues. So Brian and I kind of bonded over that. I mean, he's been through much worse, believe me. But he wanted to get some sort of address to the issue, right? He wasn't looking for big money. He wasn't going to get big money. Can't sue the VA. And up until the legislation went through, the Talley bill, which Dave Bratt carried in the House and President Trump signed, until that went through, you couldn't even go after the contract doctors. Anyway, long story short, Brian now has a great podcast, Talley Man. And Kevin Sorbo was on with him earlier today. So Brian was all excited, man. He texted me, hey, you're never going to believe it was on my show today. Blah, blah, blah. Look at this. And it's Kevin Sorbo. And he sent me a little snippet of Kevin Sorbo saying, oh, Jeff Katz. Okay. Like he has no idea who I am. So it'll be very interesting at 3:35 when we chat. I'm hoping he will have, or unless we'll let him know what's going on. But you want to get your tickets. Take my word on that. It is Tuesday. We're going to talk a little tech, how to stay safe online. We got the whole Wi-Fi security issue. Craig Peterson's going to be along. And we got two great community issues. Two folks who are very near and dear to me. I think the world of both of them, each of them, and to situations that mean a lot to me. 505, our good friend, Dr. Sarah Cransement. She's the executive director over at the Friendship Circle of Virginia. They've got the annual walk and roll coming up in a couple of weeks, and she's going to let us know what's involved with that. I did learn, by the way, yesterday that my pal Emily Morrissey and Emily's Bracelets, they're going to be represented at the walk and roll. So that's another reason why you ought to go. And then at 5:35, Chris Gumenez is going to be with us. Chris is the assistant special agent in charge of the Richmond District Office for the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration. They've got a big drug take back day. It's happening this Saturday. So Chris is going to be along to talk about that. Also, finally, before I run out of breath air, folks have been asking about heat for the holler. That is my buddy Luke Scott, the effort that he is spearheading. It's his idea, man. He just came up with it, and it's brilliant. I did list on all the social media how you can help Luke get these heaters and the propane down to these folks in Western North Carolina who are facing some very, very chilly nights and real cold weather coming very soon for them, and they don't have any means to heat their shelter. So I do have it up on social media, but what we're going to do, it's not going to be this week, but next week, Germ, I think we're getting him on again to talk a little bit about. It's not going to be this week, that much I know. That much I know, because tomorrow we got plenty of stuff, and then Thursday and Friday, I'm actually going to be out of town. I probably shouldn't say that, but I have a big speaking engagement out in Chicago. I'm very, very excited about that. And don't get all excited. Hanover County Sheriff's Office has already been notified. There'll be troops stationed at all the entrances to Cassacat, so get no ideas about that. All right, came across a bizarre article in Forbes. I'm going to share that with you momentarily. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Tuesday afternoon. We've got our Chronic Care of Richmond text line available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, I love Uncle Floyd. He was on the New Jersey Network up in New Jersey. Here's the theme song. Hey, Germ, if you want to jump on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. They've got the theme song for Uncle Floyd. Yeah, there you go. I will tell you that I would be willing to bet. I don't know this for sure, but I'd be willing to bet that Jeremy had already found it and has it loaded and ready to go. 804 says, hey, Jeff, my nephew called me this weekend. He lives in Charlotte. Asked me if it's true there are no longer any monuments in Richmond, Virginia. They were planning to come here and see the city. What a legacy that's been created, huh? Yeah, it's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. The dumbest series of events you could ever, ever even begin to imagine. 804, Jeff, John Stewart had another moment of truth when he called out to Tampon Tim Walz for loving the Cheneys. Yeah, gang, if you hate the Iraq War and you hate all of the other, quote, war stuff that's going on, why are you now hanging out with Liz Cheney? Why? Because she hates Trump just like you do? Well, that's pathetic. She's pathetic. But if Kamala Harris wins, Liz Cheney's going to be your Secretary of Defense, just so you know. Mike says, Jeff, isn't it sad that there are those who think so little of themselves that they cannot trust their own abilities or lack thereof? Yeah. Yeah, you have to be honest with yourself. That's the deal, right? That's the reality for most of us. Here's what I know how to do. Here's what I don't know how to do. Do I want to learn more about the stuff I don't know how to do? Are there people I can hire to do what I need done since I can't do it? Can I share what I know with other people? Those are questions decent people ask themselves. Other people just wallow. I can't do that. I don't have any money. Oh, I wasted my money. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. All right, well, you're going to be miserable. What can I tell you? Enjoy your miserableness. I got a great package a little bit earlier today. I opened the mailbox, and it was from my friend Emily Morrissey. Oh, let me tell you something. I've got a couple of brand new Emily's bracelets for Halloween. And even more importantly than that, this beautiful picture that Emily drew. Emily is quite the talented artist. So I didn't have a chance to put that up earlier today, and I do apologize. But I will absolutely be sharing that with you. Now, I mentioned the Forbes folks. Forbes has a whole piece today. Forbes! Whole piece about McDonald's. Why are the people paying attention to McDonald's? What do McDonald's workers mean to the upcoming election? There are people who got together and said, well, you know, he didn't do the right work with the fries. He put too many fries in the bag. Oh, shut up. I mean, he wasn't supersizing. He was magasizing. And when you magasize your fries, that's what it is. All right? Yeah. There it is. There it is. Magasizing your fries. So that's pretty good stuff. Why are we upset about that? I don't know. All right, Kevin Sorbo is going to be along in a couple of moments here. How tough is it to be a conservative in Hollywood? Yikes. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. How insane is that, that a federal judge siding with those who want illegal aliens to vote here in our beloved Commonwealth? It's insanity. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares simply enforcing a law that's been on the books. It was signed into law, I'm going to remind you, by Tiny Tim Kaine when he was governor, right? No question about his party affiliation. He's a good, upstanding Democrat, and he enforced that law. Ralph Northam, remember him? He enforced the law. It was all fine until it's Governor Youngkin who decides to enforce the law. So, I don't know. It's craziness. But if things go the way they're supposed to go, we're 14 days away from this whole thing. And it's amazing to me. Kamala Harris took the day off. Donald Trump is really, he's tired. He's out of shape. I'm taking the whole day off 2 weeks before the election to, quote, prepare for an interview. I guess that means she's going to be running lines with one of her writers and trying to figure out if they can salvage this pathetic thing. It's just awful. Anyway, that's the bad news. The good news is that Kevin Sorbo is coming to town. He's going to be right here in Central Virginia tomorrow evening. My friends over there at the Virginia Council are bringing him in. It's a beautiful venue. If you've not been to one of their events before in their speaker series, boy, you got to do it. And Kevin has fought the good fight, I would say, a man of faith and a conservative trying to make his way in Hollywood. Kevin, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. It's good to be here. We got a fight in our hands, and we all know it. And people better get out and vote, because trust me, those guys are very good at cheating that voter thing. So we got to fight back in a hard way.
There's no doubt about that. It was tough to me. Here I am. I'm preparing for you to chat with you. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I didn't realize it's now like 10 years since God's Not Dead came out. Is that right?
That's true. It's 10 years ago, right about now. But, you know, since then, I've shot close to about 60 movies, so you guys have catching up to do. I've done 90 movies in my life, and I had two just out last year. I directed two of them that were in theaters last year. One's called Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, based on the Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye Left Behind books, and then the other one's called Miracle in East Texas, true story set in 1930 with the largest oil find in the history of the world. I highly recommend it, and I'm going to get it in sorbostudios.com. Please go to sorbostudios.com and sign up.
We are not going to have to pull out of you a selfless plug, are we? No, you go for it, man. Sorbos.com.
No.
I love it.
Well, you know what? I do movies that Hollywood used to do. I do movies that have hope and love and faith and redemption and laughter. Hollywood doesn't do that anymore, as you know. Yeah. Disney took a $1.4 billion loss last year with their woke crap, and people are tired of it. People want to see movies like what I'm doing, because I do movies that Hollywood used to do with good messages in there. And but we got to fight Hollywood, because they do $300 million movies with $100 million advertising budget. I do in $3-4 million range. So we got a battle on our hands.
So explain to me why it is that Hollywood has just absolutely pooped the bed. Because it would seem to me, if you're in the business of making movies, you're looking for great films, you want to put rear ends in seats, in theaters, you want to make money, right? They're not in some sort of charitable business. Has it not occurred to anybody on the business end in Hollywood that gosh, we're just wasting a lot of money with this garbage?
You know what? I did a movie that I directed about, it came out in 2018. It was funded by Sean Hannity. It's called Let There Be Light.
Yes.
It's a wonderful movie. It opened number two Here's a $2.3 million budget. Opens up number two per screen average against Thor Ragnarok, a $300 million movie with a $100 million advertising budget. I get a call from Netflix after the opening weekend on Monday. They say, hey, we see you have a foot in this inspirational world. We want to open an inspirational division right here at Netflix, and we want you to run it. So I have four meetings with them in their Hollywood offices over the next 4 months. And ultimately, they did nothing. My last meeting with them, I looked at them, and I realized this was all just BS. I said, you guys, there's 80 million homes that want the kind of movies that I do. And yet, you guys, you're in a capitalist business. You pretend behind closed doors in the open. Oh, we're for socialism and all that. Yeah. No, they're not. They're in the business to make money. Netflix is a pretty profitable place. And it's capitalism that made them that. Why are they, their ideology is so skewed and so insane and so brainwashed. But I could tell half the people in that room were agreeing with me, but they kept their mouths shut because they know they'll lose their jobs if they open their mouth.
Wow. You know, I don't know whether to look at those people and say, gosh, I feel sorry for you or I'm angry at you. Are they cowards or are they just thinking, man, I got to pay the bills. I got kids in school. What am I going to do?
They're cowards. And they're cowards. Look, every movie I've been doing, I shoot about three or four movies a year easily the last 6-7 years. Yeah. And every movie I do, people come up to me like we're doing a drug deal and say quietly, hey, thanks for being a voice for us. And I go, be a voice for yourself. Stop being the sheep out there, but they're all afraid that, you know, I got blacklisted. Hollywood booted me out 10 years ago before the cancel culture was even a term. And I formed Sorbo Studios. We've been doing our own thing since. I love the business. I love the industry. I just don't like the politics of it. And I don't like the insanity that it's become. Because as you know, same thing in Washington, D.C., they openly lie, blatantly lie. There's hypocrisy where they wear in their sleeves and they don't care anymore.
Well, number one, let me remind everybody, sorbostudios.com is where they need to go to check out some of Kevin's work. I mean, great stuff there. But you say you got canceled 10 years ago, even before this whole cancel culture, the woke nonsense had really taken root. Was it just that they looked at you and said, you know what, Kevin, you're a man of faith. We don't want to talk to you. We just don't want to hear it anymore. Go away. Or was there something else? Were they open about it when they kicked you out?
Yeah, you know what, my manager and agent, who live on opposite sides of the hills there, one's in Studio City, the other one's in Beverly Hills, they call me in to come talk at one of the offices. They never get together. So I go, this is an intervention of sorts. And they said, we can't work with you anymore. The studios don't want to work with you because of your point of view on social media. I go, oh, you mean my point of view of telling the truth? And they said, yeah. They go, Kevin, they were great to me. I'm not bashing them. Yeah. They just said, I'll tell you what, the winds are changing very quickly here. Because it was always known I was a Christian and a conservative in Hollywood. I've been out there since 1986. Right. I mean, besides the movies, I mean, Hercules was the most watched TV show in the world in 176 countries. I shot that for 7 years, and Andromeda for 5 years, the first show Gene Roddenberry created. So they knew where I stood, but they said, we just can't do it. So I formed my own company because I still love being on the set. It's still a passion for me. It's been that way since I was a kid.
Why is it that I can count probably on one hand the number of people like you, like Kirk Cameron, one or two others that are open about it and said, look, I've got money in the bank, I guess. You know, I don't necessarily have to worry about getting that huge deal from Hollywood. I'm gonna do this. Are they hiding, or are they also saying, I can't afford to take a stand?
You know, there's more out there. Clint Eastwood's been very forward for years, but he's just too big to get rid of because he's such an amazing force. And you got Dennis Quaid now, who's been very vocal about it. He and I worked on the Reagan movie together, which is out streaming right now. And then you got Dennis Miller, you got John Voight, you got all these people. Like, you look at John Voight and Dennis Miller, they said, look, I was a Democrat, but the party left me. I didn't leave it. And that's pretty much, if you want to go back to Reagan, that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hollywood, for the most part, was pretty conservative back when they first started in the 1920s and 30s. It was really the 1950s and 60s where things started to change. And it's amazing to me. I think there's plenty of people out there. The gays used to be in the closet in Hollywood. Now it's the Christian conservatives in the closet. But
it's crazy. It's Kevin Sorbo joining us, so make sure you're visiting sorbostudios.com. Kevin is actually going to be in town tomorrow for the Virginia Council. I just checked. There are a handful of tickets left. You'll want to go and get those tickets at thevirginiacouncil.org. So, Kevin, you get called on to make God's Not Dead, and I go back to that. I know it's 10 years ago, and I know you've made a number of films since that, great films, but that's the one that was, for me, was sort of a wake-up call, because, you know, I thought, well, I go to the movies, I see things I like, and then I started realizing, geez, there's a lot of crap coming out that I don't want to go to. I certainly wouldn't take my kids to. So God's Not Dead comes out, and that's just like planting the flag and saying, okay, boys, it's on.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I did a movie 2 years earlier with the same company, PureFlix. Same writers. It's called What If. It was directed by Dallas Jenkins, who's doing a little thing called The Chosen right now, which is huge around the world. And when we did God's Not Dead, we knew we had something really good. Personally, I think What If is a better movie, but that's the problem, as I mentioned earlier, about getting promotional advertising out on wonderful movies. But God's Not Dead, $2 million budget. $2 million. We worked for nothing on the movie. People don't realize $2 to $3 million, that's maybe catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean, okay? So, but this little movie made $140 million. And it was all word of mouth. I mean, it's a wonderful movie. And that really solidified for me that I want to do movies like that. Don't necessarily have to be faith-based movies, yeah. But I wanted to do movies that are family-friendly, movies that have better messages. Because I go to these Spider-Man or all these movies. It's 90% visual effects. They're fun to watch. It's a roller coaster ride. But there's no, you don't have any connection with the characters because they're not real.
Right.
And, you know, I like doing movies that I call actors' movies, where you get stories about people that people can relate to that are watching that movie.
How difficult was it for you to play that atheist college professor? Was it just the most difficult job you ever had, or were you thinking, well, I know how this ends, so I'm okay?
Well, that's part of it right there. But
yeah.
I'm an actor, number one. But number two, I know people like that. And I saw people like that on CNN, that there's actually presidents of atheist clubs. They go to the trouble of starting a rally about something they don't believe in. It's quite odd. I don't believe in broccoli, but I don't hold a rally for it. So it's just weird out there what people are doing. But I'm going to keep fighting on, man.
Well, I love it. So tell me a little bit about some of the work you've got going on now. Obviously, you're coming to town right here in Central Virginia tomorrow for the Virginia Council, and there are a handful of tickets left. Just so you know, Kevin, I just checked with the guys over there. Handful of tickets left. They go to the virginiacouncil.org. But you were on a little bit earlier today on a podcast with a buddy of mine out of Dallas, Brian Talley, who's got an amazing story. And now that I got you here, you should make a movie about him. You want to talk about a great story. But what are some of the projects you're looking at now moving forward?
Well, I've got, like I said, the Reagan movie's out streaming right now. I got another movie that just started streaming that I shot with Cuba Gooding Jr. It's called The Firing Squad. It's a true story set in an Indonesian prison.
Okay.
And then I've got three documentaries coming out early next year up till Easter. One of them leading that way is dealing with The Last Supper. It's called Eating with the Enemy. And I've done about 12 documentaries now, and it's phenomenal. And then I've got... I got three movies in post-production right now. One we shot in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called Another Life, True Story, and a gentleman that was born deaf and was able to finally be able to hear through science, and he became a mortician / comedian, stand-up comedian, true story. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story.
You know,
and
the jokes are right themselves about killing at that performance. I can't know. I'm not going there. But, wow, what a combination, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I just signed a 6-picture deal with a funder out of Georgia. He's a man of faith, conservative, and he loves the movies I do. So I'll be directing and starring in 2 movies a year over the next 3 years. We're going to start filming the first one coming up here in February.
I love that. Now, are most of these going to be available to us via sorbostudios.com? Do you have releases around the country?
Well, eventually we're going to release some theatrically first. I mean,
okay.
You know, not as many people go to theater anymore because COVID kind of put an end to that because people got tired of it. But they're starting to pick up again, obviously. But anytime you can get any movie in the theaters, even for a weekend, it's got a cachet that makes it worthwhile, especially for Netflix and Amazon to want to pick it up. So all these, you know, are targeted for certainly theatrical releases.
You have any hope at all with the new, chairman of the board and CEO? They just named him, I think, yesterday, two different guys for Disney. Any hope that they'll fix things?
No, I don't. I honestly think they took a $1.4 billion loss, but here's the conspiracy theorist in me again.
Right.
I think that our tax dollars are going underneath the country from Washington, D.C. into the coffers over there at Disney, where they say, hey, you keep promoting this. It's like, no, look, if you look at Roe v. Wade, when that thing passed 50 years ago, there was a big fight to get rid of it for about 3 or 4 years. But when you beat people over the head long enough, pretty soon it just becomes normal. So we've killed 65 million human beings in our country since Roe v. Wade. And, you know, and then you got somebody like Schumer and all those other guys and Clinton recently. I thought, we need to make all these illegal aliens. We need to get them in the workforce. We need to make them citizens right now because they just want to vote in more of a voting block for them. But the reality is you guys have killed off the American workforce through abortion. So it's bizarre to me.
I'll tell you, it's twisted, and it for on a personal basis, and you don't know me from Adam, and that's okay, Kevin. But I'm going to bug you tomorrow at the Virginia Council event. But you know, my daughter is severely disabled, 22 years old, chronologically, developmentally 18 months old, and there comes a point when you deal with that, you can go one way or the other. You can say, oh my gosh, you know what? God stinks. Look what's happened to this. That's it. I'm like hardcore atheist. Or you say, okay, this is a really heavy lift. I don't know that I'm up to this, God, but okay. And I'm telling you, you see someone like my Julia, who's never said a word, Kevin, never said a word, right? I sit here, I blab all day, hours a week. She has touched more people never saying a word than I will with a million words. And those are the stories that I think are so important. The stories you're sharing about people just coming to that T in the road and saying, all right, I got it. I can go left or I can go right, but I got to make the right choice. Somehow we got to do it. And you're giving them the sort of the mental ammunition to do that.
Oh, no question. Look, when I speak tomorrow, I'm going to speak a little bit of my own story. Obviously, I didn't have to go through what you're going through with your daughter, but I went through my own illness. It took me 3 years to fully recover, and I easily could have died from it. So to me, it's like, okay, as my wife said, Kevin, this happened to you. What are you going to do about it? So, you know, what happened to you with your daughter, it's like, okay, this happened. What are you going to do about it? God never promised any of us an easy life. And you got to find a reason why this was a gift. In some way, this was a gift. And you have to find that out, because if you don't find it out, you're going to drive yourself absolutely insane.
Absolutely. Boy, I am so excited about you coming to town. And your wife sounds a little bit like my wife. Okay, yeah, that's what happened. Now what are you going to do? You know, rub some dirt on it, dude. Take a lap, get back in the game. And I'm just excited that you're coming to town. And on behalf of everybody here in Central Virginia, we appreciate it. We really do. We appreciate you making some time for us. It's going to be a great event tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope people I'll have some books to sign afterwards as well, and hopefully, I think we're doing a little Q&A as well.
Yeah, I know there's a little Q&A, there's a VIP reception beforehand, and I hope you will not be offended, but I'm going to be like a total dorky fan when I go, hey, Kevin, can I have a picture? But I really do. I want a picture with you, because I love what you're doing, brother. I really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It takes a lot of courage, a lot of integrity. Kevin Sorbo, thank you for being here, my friend. SorboStudios.com, SorboStudios.com. You should go there. Seriously, go there right now. Take a look at some of Kevin's stuff. Tomorrow night, you need to be at the Virginia Council event. It's going to be right in Glen Allen. I'm telling you now, because I've been to a couple of things over there, it is a beautiful event. I don't think John Reed or the Virginia Council could have found a better location. It's just perfect. And to have a guy like Kevin Sorbo, who's made, I don't know, 100 movies, whatever it is, it's amazing. And to live the life he's lived and to be willing to take the stands that he takes, that's a good dude. And tomorrow night, he's going to be in town for the Virginia Council. They do have some tickets available. Again, I just checked, I don't know, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, whatever it was, thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Hey, it is Tuesday, right? Yes, it is. It is Tuesday. I'm a little confabulated. Just making up more words that don't mean anything, but yeah, you get what I'm saying. Maybe I should just need to take a day off like Kamala Harris. Can you imagine the nerve? Honest to goodness. If you're running for president of the United States and you're now 2 weeks away from Election Day and you're like, nah, I'm going to be hanging out at the house. I'm sorry. What? You notice how she and her ilk have changed the tone. You know what's missing? Anybody else notice? There's no more joy. No, there really isn't. Oh, we're not experiencing any joy. I thought it was all going to be joy. We're running for joy. It's going to be joy. We're going to be happy. There's no happiness left. What's going on? Well, it's a good question. I don't know. My sense, and look, I'm just, you know, I'm on the outside looking in. I think they're realizing, boy, this was one colossal mistake. There was a piece today. I put it up on the Jeff Katz Show page over on Facebook, the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And I think I sent it out on X as well, Jeff Katz Show on X. You should be following both of those. That's where I put everything up. But it was like, well, maybe Joe Biden was the better pick after all. Okay. Now, far be it for me to screw up the disaster that you and the left are constructing. Believe me, I'm just going to sit back here, make some extra popcorn, and say, yep, have at it. And God willing, the election goes the right way. And we have Donald Trump return to the White House. We've got Republicans in control of the Senate and Republicans hold.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Hold on to the House of Representatives. Let me tell you something. We can get some stuff done. We can actually save this flipping country. They know, because you can see in the material that they write, and I know you're probably not paying attention. You know, I tell you, look, I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. Well, I read all of their garbage so that you don't have to. I mean, honestly, it's just insane half the time. Absolutely, positively insane. Having said that, they are adopting the tone that they are consigned to the defeat that's coming. And no amount of cheating, I guess, is going to be able to save them from this. And so what are you going to do? Well, they're already pointing fingers. And if they need any help, I'll happily remind you that Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer and Barack Obama are the folks who pitched poor old Joe Biden right off the mountaintop. Kicked him right off the cliff. And they gave you Kamala Harris, the accidental nominee. I don't think she's a stupid woman. I've told you this before. I think she imbibes a little too much, to tell you the truth. And I'm not exactly a teetotaler, you know? But then again, I'm not running for president either. But somehow, some way, 40 years in public life or 37 years in public life just hasn't worked. She hasn't gotten her act together. She's just not ready for this. She's never going to be ready for this. She's not going to be the first female president. Chuck Schumer might still be the first woman to ever become president. It's possible. And Donald Trump is now the subject of their attack, saying, oh, he's old. Okay. He's not in good health. Really? He's tired. Donald Trump is the one who is going 20 hours a day. It's not Donald Trump who took the day off to sit and contemplate his navel or, clean his cuticles or whatever the hell she's doing. I think she's memorizing and running lines. That's what I think is going on. Because they said she's taking the day off to prepare for an interview. How bad do you have to be to prepare for an interview? You got to remember, I was interviewed by Al Jazeera Television. Go ahead, let that sink in. Al Jazeera, about 2 years ago, came to the United States, and they did this whole extended piece on American talk radio. And I was one of the guys they chose to speak with. How much preparation do you think I had to do when I said, yeah, I'll talk to you, to Al Jazeera Television? You think I had a clue? Of course I did. Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president of the United States. I don't think there should be anybody at all in any place that has an interview lined up with her that is going to make her take the day off from work to prepare for the interview. Ma'am, if I can handle Al Jazeera Television, you can handle whatever the hell's coming your way. It's craziness. Absolute craziness. And what are they obsessed with? Because Donald Trump made he made one of those jokes about Arnold Palmer. Cut number four.
It all comes after Trump campaigned in battleground Pennsylvania.
If we win Pennsylvania, we win the whole damn thing, right?
But raising eyebrows with this lewd digression about Arnold Palmer, spending 12 minutes talking about the golf legend in his hometown of Latrobe.
When he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh my God, that's unbelievable. I had to say it.
Trump also holding a photo op at a Philly area McDonald's, working the drive-thru window to pre-screened customers.
We love you. Come here. Thank you.
And scooping out French fries.
You got the salt on it.
Saying he doesn't believe the vice president worked at McDonald's for a summer in college.
Nobody believes she worked at McDonald's. You know why? Because she didn't work at McDonald's. And the talk about Arnold Palmer and his issued equipment has been around forever. This is not something that Donald Trump just made up. Everybody, if you have spent more than, I don't know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds speaking with someone who knew anything about Arnold Palmer, yes, they would tell you what an amazing human being he was. Absolutely, incredibly talented golfer. A decent man. And if you spent a little more time and somebody was in a, an unscripted moment, they go, oh, by the way. There were all sorts of jokes about the. I'm not going to repeat any of them. You can make up your own jokes. It shouldn't be that hard because everything that you're thinking right now, that's exactly what they did. It's easier for the guys, right? Because I don't care how freaking old we get, we still maintain in our souls that 11-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy, and we laugh at bodily functions. And we talk about bodily. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just no biggie. It's not a. Well, I mean, not Arnold Palmer. I mean, what I'm talking about is not a biggie. It's not an issue. And I think Donald Trump is just continually connecting with regular people. And the left can't connect with regular people because the leftists hate regular people. I've told you this before, haven't I? And I know it's like a lecture, and I don't mean it to be a lecture, but I am telling you, they hate you. They hate me. They hate us with a passion. We actually do eat McDonald's. We actually enjoy French fries once in a while. Maybe you're at a point where your doctor has said, hey, listen, you can't be doing French fries every day. All right. I should tell you, for the record, my doctor, the best doctor on God's green earth, Dr. Robert Quarles, Threshold Medical, Midlothian, we've never had that conversation about French fries. Because I think what the good doctor's attitude is, treat yourself every once in a while. Don't be an idiot, but, enjoy what you can enjoy. That's a good way to live life, right? Nothing wrong with that. Oh, and they're beating up on Elon Musk, too. Oh, my gosh. Poor Elon Musk is just trying to live the American dream. And he is. And he wants other people to live the American dream. And he is willing to invest his own money to help people. Those should all be things we salute. Instead, he's under attack. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, another, and this one is MSNBC, attack on Donald Trump that you're going to listen to. I'm going to force you to do it in a moment. And you're going to think, well, there you go. This is why I just can't take you people seriously. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., I know you'll take my friend John Reed seriously. He's going to be here 6 a.m. Always a great program with John. And then tomorrow evening, Kevin Sorbo, who was just with us, is going to be at the Virginia Council. Over in Glen Allen. I'm excited about it. If you didn't get your tickets yet, there are a couple of tickets left. Go to thevirginiacouncil.org. 415, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Well, as long as we're going along with who is or is not a Floyd, I vote for Uncle Floyd. I don't know about this Tavarius Floyd. Is he a cousin to George Floyd? Who knows? Who cares? Is he a lawyer? You got me. Graduated law school. Doesn't that make him a lawyer? He's the only guy getting all beat up on this. I don't know. And I don't know the guy. I don't live in the city. I don't live in his district. It doesn't matter to me whether he's on this council or not on the council. But it is just hysterical to watch the taxpayer-funded so-called media people get involved in this. They're losing their heads over this. Now, he's calling himself a lawyer, and he's not actually registered as a member of the bar. Well, he graduated law school. What do you call him? I don't know. Maybe they're like, well, you could say you graduated law school. You're a graduate of a law school. You're a law school graduate. Or you could say what everybody says. You're a lawyer, I guess. Anyway, it's just funny. But if I'm going with Floyd, I'm going with Uncle Floyd from North Jersey. That's the way it goes. You know, the jokes about Arnold Palmer, by the way, go back a long time. Anybody remember Johnny Carson? I mean, this is funny. I am now at the point where I'm saying to people, do you remember so-and-so? Well, if you remember Johnny Carson, who, my opinion, still the best host of The Tonight Show ever, better than Jack Parr, better than Jay Leno, and whoever it is that does it now. But he was joking about Arnold Palmer's, you know, putter years ago. 50 years ago, it's been out there. Now, I want you to listen to one of the whining leftists. I know, I repeat myself. And it is from MSNBC. So, do yourself a favor. Let me hang on 1 second here. Take your sip of liquid now so you don't do a spit take. And I will remind you that I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No. It's okay. You're welcome. Cut number two.
The central thesis of America, the American Republic, if you want to go back to George Washington's farewell address, was that this republic cannot exist without the moral and religious principle of a people. And leave out the religious part for a minute, and let's just talk about the moral part. What worries me to death nearly is either the kinds of Republicans that we know and grew up with either really believe this, they really believe that there's kind of a both sides thing, which is bad enough. And what's even a little worse is they don't really believe it. But because they are not sufficiently troubled by what the former president represents, they're looking for anything they can tell themselves to justify doing something that I think in their hearts they know is wrong.
Hmm. Okay, well, first of all, you lost me when you used the word thesis right out of the bat. That was it. Everybody stopped paying attention to you, and we all went back to thinking about two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And to wrap it up, just to say this, I am unburdened by what has been, and I will be voting for Donald Trump. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Good grief.
4:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday, I'm going to call it evening. We're just about there. Tuesday evening, 2 weeks to Election Day. Can you believe this? And Kamala Harris, she took the day off. Wow. It's not like the vice president has a lot of job responsibilities to begin with. I mean, they really don't. It's like the lieutenant governor on steroids. I see now why John Reed may want to be lieutenant governor, because there's not really, no offense to Winsome, who I think has done an amazing job, and she's actually turned the lieutenant governor's office into something that counts. Prior to her, boy, it wasn't a lot of heavy lifting. I mean, Doug Wilder did a great job and all that. I mean, there are a couple of people that stand up, but you see what I'm saying? For the most part, you kind of stand around and wait for something bad to happen with the other person. So Kamala Harris, 2 weeks to Election Day, takes the day off. Because she is, and I quote here, preparing for an interview. Really? If you are not, at this point, 40 years in public life, prepared for any interview that comes your way, this may not be the line of work you should be pursuing. That's all I'm saying. You might be better equipped going somewhere else, like, well, I don't know, McDonald's. They got that. If they bring back the clown, seriously, if they bring back Ronald, and they got a pair of big red floppy shoes that she can fit into. Could be a good fit. Craig Peterson is our guy when it comes to all things tech. I signed up for the newsletter. CraigPeterson.com is where you go. It's free. Comes out every week. And Craig, number one, thank you for being here. Number two, you're leading this week's thing with this whole Wi-Fi problem. And I guess everybody, even you Apple people, would have a problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, is this an interview? Do I need to prepare?
Yeah. No, you need to break. Take the day off, study your notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This Wi-Fi issue is a big one. I one of the listeners had emailed me. Okay. So he was at home And he has a Wi-Fi system that I recommended that he get. And this Wi-Fi system lets him know when a device connects to his network. So actually, he was overseas initially, and he saw that his son must have come in the house because his phone connected to dad's Wi-Fi, right? Okay. And so he called up his son, "Hey, I see you're over at the house. Can you, you know, let the cat out?" And the son didn't know how. Did you know? So he's at home this week, and all of a sudden there's an iPad trying to connect to his home Wi-Fi that they just don't have.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So is it the neighbor? That's what I would think first. Okay, the neighbor got a new iPad, and for whatever reason, they're just scanning, right? I mean, your phone scans, your iPad scans. Is that what it is, or do you think there's something more nefarious?
Well, have you seen these kids driving around in a Pringles can? You know what a Pringles can is? It's those long, round cans. They have those pressed potato chips in it. So have you seen kids driving around with those? And what they do is they use those as basically a microwave antenna receiver. And they point it at your house to see if you have any open Wi-Fi networks. In fact, for businesses, if you've seen chalked on to the side of your office building or your office, usually it's just above the ground, but it'll have a few different numbers on it, which is the Wi-Fi channel and frequency. Again, those are hosers trying to get onto your network. So that if they get on the network now, they can tell, is anybody home right now? Maybe it's time to break into their house. Maybe it's not, right? Because they get onto your network and they do a quick scan to see what devices are online, which ones are active. It can be a real problem, not just necessarily the kids next door.
Huh. Now, the markings on the outside of the chalk, that's almost like the... like the hobos used to do. You know, the hobos would go on, they'd ride the rails, and they knew which houses had friendly people and which doors were left unlocked, and they had a whole bunch of chalk markings they would leave there. So now you got folks doing that for the free networks. But let me play devil's advocate for a second. If it's just saying, hey, it's your local coffee place, it's Craig's Coffee Hut, and they've got free Wi-Fi, and you want free Wi-Fi, that's not bad, but it's more than that, is it not?
Yeah, well, now you're running into a different problem, right? The problem then is it really the coffee shop's Wi-Fi? Or is somebody there with a laptop that is advertising a network that looks like it might be the coffee shop's network to get you to attach to it and then use that now to intercept everything you're doing on your computer?
Ugh. All right, can we?
And that's happening a lot, particularly at airports, Jeff. Oh. Particularly at airports. So we've got to secure. Yeah, we've got to secure our Wi-Fi. We've got to secure our use of Wi-Fi. And so many of us, a lot of people have Comcast, right?
Yeah.
They're your ISP. Yeah. And have you noticed that there are in Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots, like all over this part of the country?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know how they do that? They use your home router, your home network router, or your business one that you're getting from them. They use that to advertise a free network for anybody
they
that is an Xfinity customer.
No.
So they are, yes, that's exactly what they're doing. That's how it works.
Oh my God.
So they're saying, hey, listen, we're making sure that it's gated, that none of the data can go between those two networks, your home network and the other network. But
yeah.
Why did Sutton rob banks, right?
Yeah.
That's where the money was. So, it's a problem. So, first of all, I never use a router from the ISP.
Okay.
I always put my own router in. I put my own Wi-Fi in, but I'm a geek, okay?
Yeah, so.
But this week's newsletter is a lot simpler than that. And most people don't know how to change the default password on the router. They don't know how to change some of the configuration on the routers. So what I did is I went in and explained, literally step by step, whether you have a Mac or Windows or separate instructions for each of them, what to do with your home Wi-Fi router to make it safer.
All right. Well, now this is, it should be absolutely positively no joking, because if Xfinity is doing that, they're offering these hotspots. They're essentially saying, hey, get on Jeff's home Wi-Fi. It's only a half a step away to them saying, oh, by the way, we have free coffee for you. Now you got to go in the back door near the kitchen, but help yourself, right? I mean, it's craziness.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Now you can call them and say, hey, guys, get it off. Stop it. Stop it. And they will. They will turn that off. So they don't say, think that it presents a problem, but it sure could in some conditions, without a doubt. And if you've got your home network, one of the things I talked about in the article today is you need to have a guest network. And so I talked about how to set up a guest network. Now, the guest network is going to be isolated from your main home network or your main business network. Mm-hmm. And what you should be doing is putting your Internet of Things devices, your things like if you have a Ring doorbell or you've got one of those smart thermostats, et cetera, they should be on your guest network, not on your main network, along with your computers that you use for banking and everything else. Because, again, those Internet of Things devices are computers, Jeff. Yeah. They can and have been hacked in the past. They will be hacked in the future. It's guaranteed. And what you don't want to have happen is to have it now go and use that as a launching point to attack you. I had a customer that came, well, became a customer, but they came to me because they were just a small retailer and they had security cameras so they could keep an eye on the cash register, right? Keep an eye on the employees. That's right. And those security cameras were hacked, and they used those security cameras to break into the computer there in the store and got all of their financial records and then, of course, emptied their bank accounts from just having cheap Chinese security cameras.
Wow. All right. Well, look, people have got to take advantage of the information you're providing. Please remind everybody again where they go, how they get signed up, and again, how much they got to pay you.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's worth a lot, so yeah. I do it for free. Okay, this is the free newsletter. If you go to craigpeterson.com, I have tips every week. This is what we've been talking about, one of the articles I wrote. I also have other articles that I curate to try and keep you a little bit up to date, including last week where I was talking about Toyota's new hydrogen fuel cells that are maybe going to put an end to some of this EV craziness.
Well, it'll be interesting, and we'll just have to follow the taxpayer dollars. That's how we know which way we're going to be competing, right? Craig, I love having you here, but I'm telling you, every time I speak to you, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go get a piece of slate and a piece of chalk, and I'm done. I'm going to disconnect everything, and then I live in the real world. And I named my smart thermostat, by the way. I just want you to know that. That's how much I care about my smart thermostat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heidi.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's all good.
All right. A lot of people use, FBI investigation van for the Wi-Fi network name.
Yeah. But everybody uses that now, so it's no big deal. Nastier. Well, we're going to work on that. Craig, I appreciate you being here, my friend. CraigPeterson.com. CraigPeterson.com. You go there. There's some information. At first, you're going to go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how unsecure my network is. Maybe you're insecure too, but it'll be unsecure. And then you go, okay, follow these steps. I think I got an idea on it. CraigPeterson.com. 445, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah, I'm going with, you know, there's a little day drinking going on. There has to be. Yeah, all right. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I really don't. President of the United States? I don't think so. An extra in some third-rate movie or TV show? No, I don't even think she's cut out for that. I don't know what she's cut out for. My oldest boy, you know, is part of the enemy out in California. He is. He's on the wrong side of things. And they're all talking about how she's going to run for governor of California after she loses the presidential election because she has amazing name recognition and the rest of it. But it's like, yeah, but her name recognition is all associated with being a failure and a dope. But it is California, so those things are actually good. And what about the cocaine in the White House? That's a great point. Somebody's sending me a note here. Remember the cocaine they found, and the Secret Service did an amazing amount of investigation, and somehow, after minutes of investigating, they could not figure out who it was that had brought that cocaine into the White House, into the private quarters of the president, right? Wasn't it like right there? No. So everybody blamed it on poor Hunter Biden. You know, the dope Fredo Biden, Joe Biden's dumbest child. They blamed it on him because he's already a junkie. Everybody knows that. But there's all this buzz that, like, well, that wasn't the case. And then there's the piece today, which I do have posted over on The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. You should take a look at it. where they're writing. These are leftists saying, well, maybe Joe Biden wasn't such a bad candidate after all. Well, I think it's a little late. 2 weeks out, are you going to make another replacement entry? Are you going to pull her from the game and stick him back in? That would be hysterical, wouldn't it? It really would. It would be absolutely hysterical. I can't see them doing that. I think they're just, look, they know they're going to lose. They're going to take the L, and they got 2 weeks to regroup. And you may like them or dislike them, but the reality is that they play hard. And they don't play fair or honest, that I'll give you, but they certainly do play hard. And they're doing everything possible as we speak via the courts, right? More lawfare. They want illegal aliens voting here in the Commonwealth. They got a federal judge on that. They've got a court down in Georgia, which is trying to change the ballot rules as we speak, so it makes it easier for Kamala Harris. But the numbers are the numbers, and it is looking good for decent Americans and Donald Trump. Yeah. Hey, this Saturday is National Drug Take Back Day, sponsored by the DEA. We'll be talking about that at 5:35. It's 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Is Tuesday evening. I want to remind you, about a half hour from now, Chris Gumenez is going to be joining us. Chris is the ASAC, the Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the Richmond District Office for the Drug Enforcement Administration. And those guys punch way above their weight class. What the Richmond Office of the DEA does in terms of combating illicit drugs is just stellar. It really, it's one of the reasons that they are so beloved within the DEA, within the law enforcement community. But this Saturday is Drug Take Back Day. And they do these, it's a couple of times a year now, right? I thought it used to be just a yearly thing, but I think it's a couple of times a year now. Gives you the opportunity, if you're looking through your medicine cabinet and going, well, you know, I had a toothache a month ago and I still have these leftover pills. What do I do? You don't want to flush them down the toilet. So Chris will be here with all of the options on that. If you missed my conversation with Kevin Sorbo, let me suggest that you head on over to WRVA.com. WRVA.com. You can listen to it. And if you don't have your tickets yet for Kevin's appearance tomorrow with the Virginia Council in Glen Allen, they do have some tickets left. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. O-R-G. I mentioned X, and in fact, if you were just listening to the news report with Charles Pyle and Sarah Huffman, they were talking about Jason Meares, our beloved Attorney General, who is doing one hell of a job. Let me tell you that. A great, great job from Jason Meares, and he had a statement that he released on X. Now, the efforts to get X are real. You make no mistake about that. The leftists want it shut down. They are outraged that people like you, people like me, are not being shadow banned anymore. Thank God we're back up over 10,000 followers there, 20,000 plus on the one Facebook page, and 10,000 another. I mean, so Facebook has always been sort of iffy. What I notice is on September the 11th, because I go back to, well, September the 11th, 2001. and the images I had then, and you remember people jumping out of buildings. It's awful. It's just awful to think that that was their choice. I'm going to burn alive in the World Trade Center, or I'm going to jump and fall 110 stories and die that way. Either way, this doesn't end the way that I thought my day was going to end. So I had posted some of those photos years ago, and they come up in Facebook memories. Well, they come up in Facebook memories, and immediately the algorithm for Facebook says, oh, we don't like that, we don't like that. And I get these evil, nasty notes, and, you know, we're going to do terrible things, and you'll lose all your cat photos or whatever the threat is. Well, when X was Twitter, you remember that Rasputin-looking dude, Jack, was over there? He was shadow banning and squashing conservatives like nobody's business. And I had organically gotten about 25, 30,000 people on what was then Twitter. And then they went through, man, they just slashed and burned. And the one day I woke up, it was like six people left. And all these angry notes from people saying, why'd you get rid of me? Why'd you do this? And I was like, if you knew me, you would know I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. So long story short, thank goodness we're back up over 10,000. It gives me more options. Same thing on Facebook. Now that we've eclipsed that 20,000 mark plus, there's some additional opportunities there, which are great. But the left doesn't like that. They don't like free speech. They don't like free enterprise. And let me give you just a couple of little snippets on that. We can start with our current minister of propaganda, who will soon be our former minister of propaganda, Karine Jean-Pierre, cut number one.
Elon Musk is pledging to give away $1 million every day up until the election to voters in battleground states. Some experts are saying this is clearly illegal vote buying. Does the White House believe what he's doing is illegal?
So I'm going to have to refer you to the FEC. I'm not going to comment from here.
Can you talk about how the president's reacting to this in terms of, does he believe it's appropriate? Does he agree with what Governor Shapiro is saying about how this needs to be investigated?
I will leave it to Governor Shapiro and the legal authorities to speak to this. I'm just not going to speak to it from here. I would have to leave it to FEC.
And if you could just talk broadly about what Trump has also said about making Musk the head of a new government efficiency commission. Does the White House see that as a conflict of interest, given the fact that Musk's companies have so many contracts with government agencies, and potentially given the power to regulate the agencies that hold sway over his own companies?
Well, since that's a campaign-related item there, what they're planning to do next or what it looks like under and their platform for his campaign, I'm just not going to respond to it from here.
Any reaction from the president or White House about Elon Musk's role at this moment in the political discussion?
I have no response, no comment on that at this moment.
Wow. So our DEI press secretary says she's got nothing to say. Her boss, however, at least her nominal boss, Joe Biden, in a little flashback, boy, he's got a few things to say, doesn't he?
Mr. President, do you think Elon Musk is a threat to U.S. national security? And should the U.S. and with the tools you have investigate his joint acquisition of Twitter with foreign governments, which include the Saudis?
I think that Elon Musk's cooperation and or technical relationships with other countries is worthy of being looked at. Whether or not he is doing anything inappropriate, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that it's worth being looked at. But that's all I'll say.
Okay. I got to ask Germ, how many of the dead air sensors went off at the radio factory? You know, when you're in this business, we have, honest goodness, you think I'm joking now, we have these like little timers that are built into the pieces of equipment. And if there's no audio for a certain period of time, then they start blinking and beeping and calling people and going, hey, we're off the air, we're off the air. And you got to worry with a little clip like Joe Biden. And those were not dramatic pauses. Those were, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say here because I don't really fully understand this. Because inside Joe Biden's brain is like a little you know, Homer Simpson sort of dude in there going, I don't know. And that's what the dead air was from Joe Biden. But make no mistake, he made it pretty clear. We got a lot of ways to go after Elon Musk. They go after anybody they don't like. God, I wish that weren't true. I really do. I just wish we lived in a time and a place where that wasn't true. And I'm so sad to see that we live in a time and a place that it is true. Like, he's got a little, one of those little hamster wheels in his head, you know, and the hamster's taking a nap. Oh, yeah, Musk. We like, don't like, really like, is he like Arnold? No, that was something. Whatever. Hey, Trump. Rumpf. If you're looking for Kamala Harris today, good luck. She's apparently at home. She's taken the day off 2 weeks to the day before Election Day. And what is she doing? You're thinking, as I am, well, it must be something serious. God, I hope she's not sick. Last week, you know, the thing, what's that thing that everybody had? That, you know, you got the injections for and the vaccines, but they didn't really vaccinate you against anything. And, you know, the thing, what Donald Trump called the China flu. In fact, he just said that last week at the Al Smith dinner up in New York. Another thing that Kamala Harris decided to take a hard pass on. It's just craziness. But yeah, she's off today. So at first I thought, well, she's probably sick. Seriously, I thought, well, she's probably under the weather. Last week, Heidi and Julia had the China flu, as President Trump referred to it. And they're fine. Thank you for asking. I mean, we had a bizarre operation here at the house with me on one level and them on the other level. We're trying not to, you know, not because I went along with all of the insanity that went along with that, but I just don't like being sick. I don't care what it is. I don't like being sick, and I'm not good at being sick. You can probably hear the last couple of days, I have legitimately had a cold, and it's a really bad cold. And no, it's not that thing because I tested for that. It's just a bad cold. But I thought, well, if you're going to take the day off 2 weeks before Election Day, you got to be really sick. Maybe we need to hear something about your medical records. Maybe, right? No, she's taken the day off to, and I'm quoting here, to prepare for an interview, end quote. What does she have to prepare? She's going to be asked questions about her life story. Ma'am, if you don't know your life story, then no amount of preparation is going to help you. And did you want to go back now and revisit that whole I worked at McDonald's shtick that you were trying to push for a while? Or are you going to change that to, actually, it was Burger King and it was only a day? How about your accomplishments? That's not going to take you long to prep for. I just thought all of these little interactions you had, they just kind of gave you the questions anyway. You got the questions ahead of time. You memorized your answers. All was good. I just hope she's well. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Ah, oh, those were the days. That's coming up in my Facebook reels now. Because if you look back, you explore some of the things that Archie Bunker was saying on that show. It's like, you could never ever do that now. Why? Because the left is firmly in control of so many different parts of our world, and they don't want free speech, they don't want humor, they don't want any of it. But you know, there's an interesting story that's breaking right about now, and I have to share this with you. It appears as if the Kamala Harris campaign is giving up the ghost. Maybe that's why she's not out on the campaign trail for herself today.
Come on, man.
Well, no, here's what's going on. The internal numbers are so bad, and they know that she's going to lose, that now she's traveling to places trying to get winners on the House side of things, on the congressional side of things. Why is Kamala Harris going to Texas or Kentucky or Florida? Why do you think that is? She has exactly zero chance to win any of those states. Heck, Florida, the National Democrats back in 2020 spent, I just saw this number earlier, I think it was 40 million or 50 million or 60 million. That was some huge number. And they know that they have absolutely positively no chance in Florida with the presidential election. They have spent less than $2 million and they ceased all advertising back in September. But now all of a sudden, Kamala Harris is going to Florida. Why do you think that is? I'll tell you why it is. Because they know that she's in danger of helping the Democrats lose seats in the House. You remember how this all started? It all started when the highest level members of the commission, because that's what the Democrats are. It's like organized crime. So the heads of the families got together, right? Nancy Pelosi, Schmuck Schumer, Barack Obama. They had a big commission meeting and they said, look, this dope, our presidential meat puppet, Joe Biden, he's going to lose. And everyone went, yep, yep, no doubt about that. We know that. Absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. Well, now what do we do? Well, we've got to replace him. Okay, yep, 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 we're going to do that. We're going to do that. That's all good to go. But why? And they said, well, we're going to lose the White House. That's a given. There's nothing we can do about it. We're going to lose the White House. And it looks like we're going to lose the Senate. We somehow, some way have got to blunt this. We could take over the House, but it's highly unlikely with Joe Biden at the top of the ticket. So they push him off the cliff and they bring in Kamala Harris. And the thought process initially was, well, she might actually win. Now, it's become clearer and clearer and clearer every single day that has gone by that she is a loser of epic proportions. But they've also taken a look at it and said, oh, my gosh, not only is she a loser of epic proportions, she's going to lose by epic proportions. And she's going to cost us the Senate, and there's no flipping way we're going to get the House. So fundamentally, she is off the presidential campaign trail, effective immediately, and she's traveling to places where she can, in theory, help people running for the House. I don't want to tell you it's all over. I don't do that, but I'd be looking out for exactly that. Drug take back day tomorrow. We're going to talk about it at 5:35. It's 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:35. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday evening. There's news just coming across from Israel that, well, it should put a smile on your face. And I know that that's not necessarily something that is what we are looking right. Are we supposed to be happy that somebody got killed? Right, it's a tough one for me because I tell you all the time. I wouldn't say I'm a good person. I'm a person who tries to be good, and I don't want to celebrate this. But when it's a really disgusting, moral reprobate responsible for murder, I'm sorry, I can't really shed all that many tears. And the IDF has now confirmed that the new leader of Hezbollah has also been taken out of the game. Right? Remember they got, what was his name, Nasrallah the other day? It's like whack-a-mole now. I'm telling you, if you're in the hierarchy for Hamas or Hezbollah, I would turn in the brand new pagers, man, and just walk away. Do something else. Find religion or find music. Find collecting stamps. I don't care. Find something else to devote yourself to because I don't think the retirement plan for you guys is really all that good. Anyway, I digress. There are some positive things that are going on in the community. And I remind you about National Drug Takeback Day. I thought this thing was like once a year. And now it just seems that it's much more often. And it's so effective. Really, really effective. Tons and tons and tons of unwanted, unnecessary drugs are disposed of every time they do this. Our pal Chris Gumenez is the Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the Drug Enforcement Administration's Richmond District Office. And these guys, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they are always fighting above their weight class. They do such great work out of the Richmond District Office, and they've got big plans for National Drug Take Back Day. Chris, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, thanks for having me. I always enjoy jumping on your show. You know that.
I do know that, and I love having you here because I love hearing about the success stories and the great activities. So am I wrong on this? Did Drug Take Back Day like pick up on scheduling? Wasn't it? To me, I thought it was like once a year, but it's not.
No, it's twice a year. It's always okay. Been. This is our 27th National Drug Take Back. Saturday, October 26th. We run it every year, twice a year, excuse me, okay. April and October of every year.
All right, well, perfect. Well, now I will make a note of that, and I think it's great. I mean, twice a year, and you are bringing in tons of bad stuff, are you not?
Absolutely. You know, it's great two times a year that it gives a chance for people in our area to clean out their medicine cabinets. Yeah. You know, easily rid your homes of the unwanted, unneeded medications. Bring them to us. we'll get rid of them safely and effectively so they don't end up in the hands of kids or in the environment or in a landfill or in our water supply. No questions asked, we'll take it back. Jeff, you know, like I said, this is the 27th, and they just gave me some new numbers that I'm very excited about.
Okay.
Weight all time. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
18,570,000 pounds that we've taken back in 27 different events.
Good Lord, man. That.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Our April, just across the nation, April, we took in 670,000 pounds. To bring it down here into the, to our area, we took in as a division, of course, our division covers D.C., Virginia, and Maryland, 33,000 pounds. But in Virginia alone, you know, you and your listeners, you helped us bring in 17,500 pounds in Virginia last April. And that was at 270 sites. And I'm hoping that your listeners will do better this year.
Wow. Well, let's explain to everybody, because there are a lot of people listening and they're thinking, all right, well, this is very nice, Chris. It's very nice, Jeff. But I'm not using illegal drugs. There's no reason for me to be involved in this. But you keep mentioning that medicine cabinet. That's where this really all starts.
Yeah, absolutely. The medicine cabinet is one of the top places where children and teenagers first experiment with drugs. It's, yep. You know, it's their parents' medicine cabinet. It's their grandparents' medicine cabinet. So twice a year, like I said, we'll take it back, expired, unneeded, unwanted, unused. We'll even take back your vape pens if you remove the batteries, you know, the vape cartridges and everything. Unfortunately, we can't do needles because we're not going to have all our sharps equipment out there, but we'll take back the liquid products. We'll take back, powder products as well as any pills. This year, we're a little bit shorter. We got 250 collection sites across the Commonwealth.
Okay.
But with that being said, there's always one near to you. If your listeners will just go to, you know, www.deatakebackday.com. You can plug in your zip code, you can plug in your city, your town, and find the closest location to you. And Jeff, you know, I know you're a big supporter of law enforcement, but I've got to give my shout out to my local and state partners on this. We're just not big enough to handle 250 sites across the Commonwealth by ourselves. Mm-hmm. If it's not for Virginia State Police, if it's not for, say, Richmond PD, Hanover County Sheriff's Office, Henrico County Sheriff's Office, Chesterfield County Sheriff's Office, Prince George Sheriff's Office, Hopewell PD, Colonial Heights, Petersburg, any other agency you can think of within the Richmond metro area, they all pitch in and they have sites available. So I cannot thank my state and local partners enough for that.
Look, we've got a great crew in Central Virginia. We really do. I am so impressed with the men and women who serve in this day and age, whether it's a local, state, federal operations. And for those of us who are thinking, okay, I want to get rid of some stuff. I'm not sure what it is. Right, you kind of go through your medicine cabinet sometimes, Chris, and you're looking and going, oh, yeah, you know, I had that, I had work done on my tooth last year, and I've still got a couple of these pills left. You just get rid of them, and people, you know it, and you got to explain to everybody why you can't do this. People, including me, are thinking, well, why can't I just toss them down, you know, the commode or down the drain? What's the big deal?
Well, I mean, again, think about that. You start tossing opioids and synthetic opioids down the commode, like you said, or the toilet that end up into a water treatment and back into our potential water supply or the environment. It's just, it's not good. Just give it back to us. We'll get rid of it for you for free. No questions asked. That's what we do. Hey, and on a side note, we've also partnered with the Secretary of Public Safety here in the Commonwealth, as well as Virginia State Police, VCU PD, Richmond PD, and Capitol Police. On Wednesday, for Commonwealth of Virginia employees, we'll be out at the Governor Square at the James Madison Building with the van set up in a collection site. So you can come see us Wednesday, October 23rd, between 11 and 3, before Saturday's National Take Back as well.
Oh, I love this. I really do. And it's not about the numbers, but wouldn't it be really cool if we could set a new record this year?
Yeah, if we can go over 18,000 pounds, I'd be much appreciative. You know, it's these take back events. They do a lot for the community. But you know, again, I know you've heard me harp on this, but the whole idea is to get these pills out of the hands of the community. As you know, we lost over 107,000 poor souls in 2022 to drug overdoses or poisonings. Just to kind of give you an idea, that's 300 people a day.
Jeez.
That's a Boeing 777 crashing every day.
Wow.
to bring it here to Central Virginia, because I know a lot of your listeners are big fans of the flying squirrels.
Yeah.
The diamond holds 12,134 people.
Jeez.
That is 9 diamonds of poor souls that have died in 1 year due to fentanyl.
And let's face it, you guys have done a great job. You've taken point on this whole idea, this whole notion, the phrase "one pill can kill." It is truer today in 2024 than it's ever been.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm so proud of that, because that's a national initiative. But even here I got to give the Commonwealth of Virginia credit and the Attorney General's office. They've picked it up and they're running it. You've probably seen some of their signs across the interstates. That's mm-hmm. with the state. We're working with the Attorney General's office on One Pill Can Kill. We're working with the First Lady on her initiative, which is fentanyl related.
Yep.
Everybody's picked up on this, and our goal is to get the deaths reduced, to get these overdoses down, to get the amount of supply out of our community, so that we can live, or so these kids can live a more healthier lifestyle.
I love it. So again, it's the first thing is going to be basically outside the governor's office right there on Capitol Square. And when is that again?
The James Madison building right out in front of the building. I just use it for the governor's mansion because everybody knows, but it's the James Madison building right now. And that's going to be Wednesday, October 23rd.
Okay.
Between 11 and 3 p.m.
Okay, so that's tomorrow, and that's great for state employees. Everybody that's down there already, boy, you bring it with you. Send it away, and you're not dealing with it. The rest of us, maybe not state employees, Saturday, are there times that this is going to run specifically, or is it all day drop-off?
No, it's between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Okay.
At all the sites.
Okay.
Again, just go to www.deatakebackday.com,
okay.
And a big search bar will come up. You'll be able to plug in your zip code, plug in your city, your town, and you'll find the closest site to you. A lot of these sites, if not all of them, have drive-up service. You won't even have to get out your car. Pull up, wow. Hand over the bag, and somebody will come and take care of it and get rid of it, so you don't have to deal with it anymore.
And I want to remind everybody, because there are a couple people, I can feel it, Chris, people sitting there going, well, I don't know. It is no questions asked, isn't it?
No questions asked. Let's just get it out. I don't care what it is. Get it to us. Let us destroy it so it doesn't get in the hands of our kids and teenagers.
It's so important. And I will remind everybody, in Central Virginia, it's like 100% cooperation. I know the town of Ashland does something, Hanover County Sheriff's Office. We've got Henrico PD, the Henrico Sheriff down in Chesterfield, the Sheriff and the PD, Colonial Heights, Petersburg, just the whole collection of folks. In
almost everybody, Jeff.
Yeah.
Almost every PD and sheriff is involved. This is it's such a good cause, and again, I can't thank my state and local partners enough for helping us out with this.
Yeah, do me a favor one more time. Give us, if you don't mind, give us that website so people can find the closest drop-off point.
Again, it's www.deatakebackday.com.
All right, we're going to get that out there. I'm going to share it on social media, and I would be remiss if I didn't have a big hat tip, one of those big campaign-style hat tips to Colonel Gary Settle of the BSP, the Virginia State Police, also stepping up to do this. Chris, you and the team over there on Green Court do an amazing job. I know that people don't say it enough, but thank you. Thank your troops for what they're doing. They need to know that there are plenty of us out here in the real world who really do appreciate what they're doing. And you make no mistake when I tell you, we pray for your safety every single day.
Jeff, I appreciate that. And, you know, the men and women of DEA and our Special Agent Task Force officers and diversion investigators, is that we all appreciate that. Hey, but also remind your listeners, while they're looking for a take-back location, visit our website, DEA.gov, and check out our One Pill Can Kill campaign. There's great, great literature there, how to talk to your teens. There's great literature, how to talk to people if you need help, if you need resources. It's just a great place to start. I encourage especially any parents of teens, get on that website and look around. There's some great conversation starters for parents for their kids.
Fair enough. I'll tell you, well, we'll make some time. We'll get you back to talk just about that. I appreciate it. That is Chris Gumenez. He's one of the good guys. Make no mistake about it. He is the assistant special agent in charge of our Drug Enforcement Administration Richmond District Office. These guys do great work. Wednesday, you heard about Take Back Day if you're a state employee down there, like around Capitol Square. And Saturday, for everybody else, National Drug Take Back Day. If we can get over 18,000 pounds, man, I'm going to be thrilled. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. The biggest Donald Trump event yet is going to take place tomorrow. It's going to be in Georgia. It is, well, let's use a Trumpism. It is huge. It is absolutely huge. And our pal Mike Dickinson is going to be on the ground for it. He's going to give a live report for us tomorrow afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. We're getting all the details formalized on that, but you definitely want to make sure you are here for that. It's just going to be amazing. And you think that President Trump is doing rallies all over the country, and Kamala Harris seems like she's kind of thrown in the towel already. She's off today. She's off. She's busy allegedly preparing for an interview. Maybe it's that exit interview. I always think exit interviews are hysterical. Do you watch any of the Veronica? Is it technically anime germ or is it just a cartoon? I don't know. Whatever it is. I look at it, I see cartoon. I'm sure somebody's got a different thing. But Veronica is like every single employee at every single company around the world. And she's the one who calls out all of the nonsense. And they had one the other day. They were talking about the, quote, exit interview. Right? The exit interview. And it's like, are you kidding me? The response from, I don't know if it's Veronica or one of the other characters. And it's like, well, why are you having an exit interview with me? Why didn't you listen to me while I worked here? And I had all these good ideas. And you just told me to shut up and sit down. But now that I'm leaving, all of a sudden you care about what I think. And I thought, wow, that is hysterical. But she's like everybody's hero. Once you see a Veronica thing, and it's not just that end. I mean, she's got one where it's, you know, you're joining a new company. She's got one where you got the annoying workplace person who doesn't actually do any of their work and you get stuck. It's just Google Veronica, or I'll put a couple up on Facebook or something. I think that is, it's just hysterical. But I hear interview for Kamala Harris, and that's what I'm thinking. Is it the Democrat Party sitting around the bosses of the Democrat Party criminal commission or whatever they call it, right? The heads of the families. Like you got Nancy Pelosi, you got Chuck Schumer, you got Barack Obama. I wonder if they let Joe Biden or Dr. Jill Biden attend. Because that exit interview for Kamala Harris is going to be something else, man. It really is. Really, really funny. All right, listen, have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app